Bulletproof Radio, a state of high performance.
You're listening to Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey.
Everyone's talking about red light therapy beds, and for good reason. There's a company called ARRC LED that's building an entirely new class of LED devices. ARRC LED beds integrate proprietary scanning technology and frequency protocols to shape the delivery of six different wavelengths in dose-optimized photobiomodulation. Yes, that's a lot of words. What it is, though, is that photobiomodulation improves the underlying energetics of the cells in your body. And those changes can benefit nearly every tissue and organ and system in your body. You change your cells and you change your life. For more information, visit ARRCLED.com. What if there was a way to feel younger for longer? Well, there is. Your body needs something called the NAD plus molecule to help you age well. When you're young, your body makes a lot of NAD plus, and that helps you make energy. It helps you keep your DNA healthy, absorb nutrients well, and it protects your cells from stress. But once you hit about 30, your NAD plus levels start to drop. The good news is that longevity scientists have found some things that can help, like niacin, niacinamide, and Niagen. They help your body make more NAD plus even as you age. All three of these are in an amazing formula called Qualia NAD plus. Check out Qualia NAD plus risk-free for up to 100 days at neurohacker.com/Dave15 to save an extra 15%. That's neurohacker.com/Dave15, Qualia NAD plus. It's what I use.
Hey everyone, it's Bulletproof Radio with Dave Asprey. Your cool fact of the day for today is that fugu, or puffer fish, is a delicacy. You've probably heard about this if you watched Charlie's Angels, at least you did. But the ovaries, the gonads, the liver, the intestine, and the skin of that fish can be really deadly because of something called tetrodotoxin, and it stops the flow of sodium ions into nerve cells, so then your nerve impulses stop, and then you die. Japan made it illegal to eat this stuff in 1984, but a lot of fugu lovers feel that the liver is the best part and worth the gamble. I haven't actually tried this stuff. I don't think I'm going to, but I'm tempted because, well, it sounds cool.
What if there was a way to level up your energy, get rid of stress, and take more control of your body? Welcome to Quantum Upgrade. This is a new technology that taps into quantum energy to help you feel amazing. Quantum Upgrade has a lot of different products that help protect you from EMF and help activate your body's natural healing abilities. You can expect better sleep, more resilience, less stress, and better blood flow. The cool thing about Quantum Upgrade is that the products are backed by a lot of heavy-duty scientific studies, and there's a new measurable upgrade. You can now use Quantum Upgrade to increase your consciousness levels between 1400 and 2200 on the Hawkins map of consciousness. If you don't know what that means, do some research because it's impressive, it's fun to learn about, and it's something that I've come to understand. Ready to try Quantum Upgrade? Visit quantumupgrade.io/Dave for a 7-day free trial.
Today's guest is Wendy Myers, who is a founder and head writer and chief eating officer, the coolest title ever, of a blog and podcast called Live to 110. She's written a book called Live to 110 by Weighing Less and has a new book called The Modern Paleo Survival Guide. And what I like about Wendy is that she's really looking at hair mineral analysis and then helping clients to look at the minerals they're deficient in, and looking at enzyme loads. So these are biohacking techniques. If you aren't getting the right minerals, or if you're excreting the wrong ones, it tells you all sorts of things about what's happening inside the body. And by looking at this and then tweaking your environment, that is the things you put in, you can totally take control of your biology in an interesting way. So that's why I wanted to have Wendy on the show. And she's also a certified holistic coach and a nutrition coach in LA, which is, well, cool, because that's where the Bulletproof Coffee Shop is opening up real soon now. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So how did you get involved in just this whole health coaching, living a long time kind of space? Like, give me your story.
Well, it started when I was planning my pregnancy. You know, I have to learn to eat for two and get rid of all the chemicals in my house and, you know, detox all my beauty products, et cetera. But shortly thereafter, my father was diagnosed with cancer. And unfortunately, I didn't have the knowledge at that time to help save him. But I decided to study more about detoxification and the causes of illness and the underlying root causes of cancer. And that got me into detoxification and caring more about my own health. And I started looking into infrared saunas and coffee enemas and eventually found hair mineral analysis as a way to heal and detox your body.
You just said coffee enemas, right?
Yes.
All right, so there's an important tip for anyone considering a coffee enema right now. And this is one you don't want to learn the hard way. And it's you've got to cool it off first. Okay, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, a lot of my clients use bulletproof coffee for their coffee enemas.
They're not alone. I mean, if you're going to use a coffee for detox, you might as well go for something that's lab tested and doesn't have those like slight little neurotoxins in it.
If you want to, you know, if you're going to put coffee in your body that's mold and mycotoxin free, you might as well do that with your rectum too.
And just to be clear, when we're talking about coffee enemas, I didn't realize we'd go there so quickly, but what the heck. We're not talking about putting butter and brain octane oil and the coffee beans, although there are people who've done MCT rectally, and there are people who've done butter or more likely butyric acid rectally with great benefits. I don't actually think it's a good idea to put butter in. I'm not saying it. Anyway.
You could probably absorb it that way.
you almost certainly could. I just think ghee might be better. But without getting too gross here, the idea, what we're talking about, though, is using coffee as just black coffee that's been cooled, obviously, and brewed in a certain way. I'm guessing you French press metal filter is the way you do it?
I actually just throw it on the stove and boil it.
You just boil it. Okay, so it's even more extracted than a French press is. Okay.
Yeah, and you can do it any way you want.
All right. This won't be a coffee enema 101 sort of thing. There's plenty of info about it. But why do people do coffee enemas?
Well, it's a great way to detox your liver. A lot of people think it's for colon cleansing, and that is a byproduct of it. But it's really more for stimulating the hepatic portal system, where your body is cleansing toxins from the intestines, and it, all the coffee and the palmitic acid and the caffeine in the coffee really stimulates the portal venous system that leads to the liver, and it gets the liver detoxing really well. And when you're, retaining the enema for about, 10 to 15 minutes, which is the goal, your blood filters through your liver about 4 to 5 times. So it really helps to get rid of chemicals and metals that are, in your system that you're detoxing from infrared saunas or other means, and gets them out of your body. You eliminate them with the coffee enema. And then you mitigate detox symptoms like headache and nausea and, other symptoms like that.
So for people listening, my research on these things says that there's actually some very valid things that it does for the hepatic portal, for glutathione production in the liver. It just still sounds kind of gross and like a waste of really good coffee. But anyhow, this isn't just a bunch of like wacko, like, oh my God, they're doing what now? It is a known herbalist detox technique for a very long time with some real science behind it. It's just not exactly very nice to talk about. So.
Yeah, they've been used for hundreds of years, and they do work. They're not for everyone. Some people who are sensitive to caffeine, they don't work, and some people just can't stomach them. but they're wonderful for the people that it does work for them. They're great.
So I'm one of those people who will try just about anything at least once in order to see if it works. And I've probably tried this a half a dozen, maybe a dozen times over a while. I get wired from it. Like it's like super ampy and it's like a lot of work. And so it's probably not my favorite thing, but I do think it has valid detoxing things. There are other ways to raise glutathione though. So it's one of those, if you're full of metals, by the way, what metals are we talking about that might be like cadmium or is other metals? What are the ones that people get?
Really any kind of metal, lead, mercury, cadmium, arsenic, there's, dozens of heavy metals. But really anything that's in your body that's, causing toxicity can be, removed using a coffee enema.
It's not where I thought we'd end up talking, but why would you want to get rid of these metals? So if people haven't heard all 200 episodes of this, it's actually in some circles still considered like kind of, well, there's a little bit of metal in everything and just man up, walk it off. But what is like, let's talk about mercury or lead, like those are common ones. What do people experience when they have this? How do they get them and what does it feel like?
Well, people can, everyone is toxic with heavy metals. Everyone has some level of heavy metal in their body, and they really are part of the underlying root cause of diseases. But some people are more sensitive than heavy metals. Some people can have a small exposure to mercury and be very, very sick from it. And other people can be eating fish all day long and not necessarily exhibit any symptoms, though it does cause toxicity in their body. So if anyone is having any kind of health symptoms, beginning with fatigue, if people have recurrent headaches or have a chronic health condition or autoimmune issues, thyroid issues, adrenal issues, these are being caused in part by heavy metals. And so it's just a really good idea for anyone that plans on being healthy. They have to add detox protocols to their health regimen.
It's kind of a weird thing, but I've heard so many people say, oh, everything in moderation. So what about mercury, lead, arsenic, cadmium? What's the ideal amount of those?
Well, it's hard to say what the ideal amount, because everyone's so different. So some people can be affected more than others. But ideally, we want them at really low levels. And you can do that if you really focus on a detox program for 2 to 3 years. You can remove the bulk of heavy metals. But some metals are harder to get out, like lead and cadmium. They can take up to 10 years to be completely removed from the body because they're so toxic. They can only be released at, you know, low levels, a very little bit at a time.
They're also held in your skeletal muscle, which has a very your skeletal tissue, like the bone. So it takes a long time for bone turnover to happen, right?
Exactly.
I had high mercury as measured by 24-hour urinary excretion with the DMPS push challenge, for those of you who are into that kind of stuff. There's like 14 people listening who got all excited when I said that. Everyone else is like, huh? But what that means is they gave me an IV push, an injection basically into the vein of a chemical that helps the body release toxins and then release mercury in this case. And then we collected all of my urine. At the time, I was so toxic with mold toxins and mercury that I collected 7 liters of urine in 24 hours. That means I probably drank 9 or 10 liters of water because I was always thirsty, always, no matter what. It was ridiculous how much water I had to drink because my body was like, please get rid of these toxins, please get rid of these toxins. I don't drink that much water anymore because I don't need to. But what we found was elevated mercury, and I went through that whole chelation protocol, and it really helped. Like, the color of my skin stopped being gray, my energy helped to come back. Like, it was very meaningful. So if you want to live to 110, or like me, just think that's just a teenager, then what you want to do is you want to be aware that over time these things build up in your body and that you can do something about it, and that on occasion you should go on a focused program of dumping the metals, and then they'll slowly build up over time faster than they would have in your grandmother because we've been filling the world with them. So this is just part of adapting ourselves to the environment in which we live. What should people do? You're saying, you know, for 2 or 3 years, a focused detox program. What does it look like to get rid of your metals? Like, what do you recommend someone do? If they're like, all right, I've decided I'm going to be super clean and I want to be metal free. What is step 1 through step 5? Like, what do you do?
Well, I like it when people look at their body chemistry as a whole. I have a program called Mineral Power at mineralpower.com, where I start with a hair mineral analysis to look at people's adrenal, thyroid function, immune system function, and get a picture of their heavy metal toxicity as well. And once I get that, I can know exactly what supplements that someone needs to take, whether they're a fast or slow metabolizer or based on their heavy metal toxicities. And I'll give them a specific supplement protocol, mainly minerals, because when you flood your body with minerals, it helps to push out heavy metals. For instance, when people are very toxic with cadmium, it's usually because they're zinc deficient. And when you don't have zinc to repair your arteries, or skin and other tendons and other tissues in the body, your body is forced to accumulate and retain cadmium to do that same job. The body wants the preferred mineral, but in the absence of that, it has to accumulate cadmium and uses that to repair the arteries and veins. And it makes them actually very brittle and promotes heart disease and hardening of the arteries and high blood pressure. So that's just one instance of, when you flood your body with zinc, for instance, your body can start releasing cadmium.
So it's this careful interplay, this balance, and the idea that we're not robots and you just tweak that one variable, you change that variable, but everything else shifts, right? How do you use hair tests, which are, you know, your hair, like maybe it was in your shampoo, or like how do you get real data from hair? Because this has been a challenge since I started looking at metals and autism and ADD, like going back a long time. Hair mineral tests, we don't believe in that from some people, and other people say, well, no, like as long as you know how to read the data, it's pretty good. So kind of give me the, why do you use hair instead of blood or urine?
Well, no test can show you all the heavy metals that you have in your body. But I like hair mineral analysis because it'll show the heavy metals, but also certain patterns of body chemistry. When I can see the patterns in the hair test, it gives me a tremendous amount of information. And we're not just focusing on detoxing heavy metals. You have to heal the entire body chemistry. You have to heal the adrenals and thyroid and whatnot. And I have to get a picture of what's going on in a person's body to be able to accomplish that. There's also 40 years of research behind hair mineral analysis. So I think a lot of practitioners and medical doctors mistakenly believe that the hair test is just to look at mineral levels and heavy metals. And that's actually not the case. We're looking at different ratios in the body. The calcium to phosphorus ratio shows the metabolic rate. The sodium to potassium ratio can show if there's a lot of inflammation in the body and if they have a lot of heavy metal toxicity that we can't see in the test. So there's a tremendous amount of information. It really took me about 3 years of reading them to become very comfortable because there's so much information behind a hair test. So to think that you're just looking at mineral levels, if you're thinking of it in that way, that it's just for mineral levels and heavy metal levels, then you're going to think it's inaccurate and invalid.
Okay, so you use it as a data point, and what are some of the other common things that you would gather? Like, okay, if someone was to say, all right, I'm going to get serious about this. I've got needles, I can pee in buckets, like, you know, what's your ultimate list of tests that you'd want from a client who's willing to, say, drop $500 on testing in order to make sure that they were going to spend 2 years of their life detoxing in the right way? Like, what does that look like?
I started with the hair mineral analysis, and I recently became an FDN, so I like to do other functional lab tests as well.
Explain what an FDN is, because I'm sure a lot of people don't know.
Yeah, functional diagnostic nutrition. It's just a way for me to play doctor and be able to, you know, run all kinds of labs to figure out what's wrong with people, basically do some investigative detective work. But I really like people to do, like I said, the hair test first. They can do all kinds of tests, gut permeability tests, and food sensitivity tests. But those are kind of, you know, not for detox so much.
Okay, so getting an idea of what's going on in there, what sorts of autoimmunity, what sorts of food immunity. I got to say, if you're listening to this stuff and you've listened to Bulletproof Radio for a while, these themes kind of keep popping up. And it's because these are not about like, oh, I just want to live long time. It's like, if you want to perform better and you have mercury in your brain, you won't perform as well as you can. So understanding where your weaknesses are helps you know what's kryptonite for you so you can avoid it. And that's why we have guests like Wendy on the show who can talk about like, well, what works and what doesn't. But Wendy, what about like other kinds of toxins like pesticides, right? How does that come into play with something like lead or mercury or cadmium or arsenic or all these other things, nickel?
Yeah, well, a hair mineral analysis shows the heavy metals, but it doesn't show any chemicals and things like that. But we automatically assume that everyone has those. The World Health Organization has estimated that we have 700 chemicals in our body. CDC has done other tests that show we have, you know, over 200 chemicals in our body. Breast milk has 70 chemicals, et cetera, et cetera. So there's no need to really test for those. You just have to detox those in an infrared sauna. And as you strengthen a body's biochemistry, doing a program like Mineral Power, that also just allows the body to improve its detox mechanisms. And the infrared sauna facilitates that as well. So you get rid of all these chemicals and pesticides and things that are so ubiquitous in our environment.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So, all right, how does all this then plug into the other big system in the body, like the endocrine system and the adrenals and the thyroid? Like when you put the hormone system into place with some like hair mineral testing, what do you see?
On the hair mineral analysis, the sodium and potassium levels are indicative of adrenal health. Most of my clients, by the time they find me, they have really low sodium and potassium levels because they're in some stage of adrenal fatigue. And adrenal fatigue is caused in part by heavy metal and chemical toxicity because, one, you know, you get metals and toxins in the adrenal glands themselves. But number two, when the body becomes, you know, slowly over time becomes more and more toxic, the adrenal glands glands kind of will rev up the production of stress hormones in an attempt to expel them, kind of to rev up the body's metabolism and have the body excrete them. And over time, this constant stimulation and irritation of the adrenal glands in part causes them to become fatigued. And that is why, you know, 2/3 of people have adrenal fatigue and suffer from the symptoms. So when people begin experiencing fatigue, usually beginning in their 20s or 30s, that's the beginning of adrenal fatigue, and this whole cascade and domino effect of other health conditions in the body begins with adrenal fatigue.
One of the things that people often don't know, and I actually found a study about this, and it's that when your adrenals get off, your chances of getting autoimmunity go way up. So autoimmunity is when your immune system basically starts turning against you and attacking things like your brain or, you know, your kidneys or some other part of your body. But getting to that point of adrenal exhaustion may be the trigger that then causes the immune system to do that. And that's based on some very old work from a guy who did a lot of work with cortisol, like in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, who had documented this pretty well. And I'm forgetting his name right now. I think I need more aniracetam, but...
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And, you know, when we have lots of heavy metals and chemicals in our body, it causes adrenal fatigue, but it also causes gut issues, which will also promote adrenal fatigue, these hidden stressors in the body. And when people have chemicals or metals like mercury and copper, when they have copper toxicity, this will promote the overgrowth of candida and bad bacteria, gut dysbiosis in the gut, and promote candida infections. So people do, before they get rid of gut infections and things like that, they do have to address detoxing excess copper and mercury in their body, or these infections will not go away.
Now, one of my top 10 recommended supplements is copper, because so many people have started supplementing zinc that now the zinc copper ratio is off. And I'm a little concerned about recommending even more zinc, because it's already like if you take a vitamin, you're probably getting zinc. But tell me about the risks of excess copper and why maybe getting a test, either hair or blood, to get your copper versus zinc levels could be useful.
Yes, I do blood testing with my clients as well for zinc, copper, and ceruloplasmin, to see kind of some, you know, if they have copper toxicity in their body. But I did a podcast about this. There's a copper conundrum, so to speak, where most people today, if they have adrenal fatigue, they have copper dysregulation in their bodies. And the reason is because as they have adrenal fatigue, the adrenals are not able to signal to the liver to produce a protein called ceruloplasmin that binds to copper to make it bioavailable in the body. And as people, you know, proceed further and further into adrenal fatigue, copper starts building up in their body and causing many, many health issues. But they also simultaneously have a copper deficiency because they don't have this protein to bind the copper to make it available in the body. So I very frequently recommend a copper supplementation as well. But you can't have too much because then it can promote copper toxicity.
Yeah, that's bad news.
Yeah, it's a fine balancing act. You do have to do hair testing and blood testing to find out what supplement protocol people need to balance their copper.
If someone is a little bit copper toxic, what does that look like?
PMS, number one, weight gain, migraine headaches is very common. Copper stimulates the neurotransmitters, so people can very much have anxiety, bipolar disorder, even schizophrenia.
That sounds kind of serious.
Yeah, pain syndromes, because copper is a, you know, very good conductor of electricity. So people's nerves can overfire and can promote pain syndromes. Really a lot of symptoms. I have articles on my website about copper that explain that.
So if someone wanted to go to their doctor and say, I want a test to find out whether I should have more or less copper, would they ask for RBC copper levels? What's your favorite test that you could order from a, quote, normal doctor?
Well, most doctors won't do this testing, as I've found with my clients. I said, go to your doctor, do this testing, and the doctors won't do it. But it's RBC magnesium, ceruloplasmin, plasma zinc, and copper, serum copper. Those are the blood tests you need to get. But even then, it's very difficult. You can't just look at your copper levels and say, oh, you have copper issues. You have to look at hair mineral analysis is great to look at. You also have to look at if you have adrenal fatigue. You have to look at symptoms. So you have to kind of look at a person's whole health history to be able to determine copper issues, because it can be very, very tricky.
How much would that set of tests cost?
Not too bad. I mean, the hair test that I do is $300. And the battery of tests, I think with requestatest.com is, I think, about $160. It's not terribly expensive.
Got it. So you can always order these yourself and go to your doctor, or not even go to your doctor. You order them like, okay, I figured this out. I'm going to take more or less copper or more or less zinc or whatever else. That's sort of, I'm going to hack my own body perspective. And I think there's value in working with someone whose balance levels quite a bit. And there's a bunch of people here who will go to the doctor and the doctor will be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. We have four more minutes and insurance is going to bill whatever. And if that's the case, you probably do want to go to request a test. Or if you're fortunate enough to have found a doctor who works on these levels. And by the way, there's a list of Bulletproof physicians on the Bulletproof site where you know, people who work within these kinds of things are listing their availability. But what you can do is you can just go in and say, I'm going to get the data. And then you know, and then maybe you'll just change your supplement stack. Oh, and by the way, if you're taking a multivitamin, even one with some sort of, you know, balance, whatever, it doesn't matter if that multivitamin has copper and you don't need copper, or if you need more copper and it doesn't have it. And that's one of the reasons that I'm not a huge fan of multivitamins, because you're almost never going to get the right mix for you. And there's probably stuff in there you shouldn't be taking.
Exactly. I agree with you. You can't just throw the kitchen sink at your health. It doesn't work.
Yeah. I did take that approach at first. I went out back in the late 90s when I'm like, I'm going to just dominate. I'm going to do everything right. I went and I bought, you know, the most expensive vitamins, a couple $100 a month, and they had like 240 ingredients. And essentially it didn't do that much other than give me a really big niacin flush that I thought was an allergic reaction. At the time, a niacin flush, for when you're listening, it's one of the B vitamins that causes your skin when you first take it to like turn red and get flushed as it changes the circulation in your arteries and your veins. So it's a weird feeling, but at the time I was like, oh my God, these vitamins are tweaking on me. But in retrospect, I still don't use a regular multivitamin, you know, even some of the fancier ones, because I assemble the things that are right for my biochemistry because I did the testing. And I'm not a doctor. You can do this kind of thing yourself, but it helps to have good advice. And we're not talking about that much money compared to one doctor's visit, $300 for a test, or maybe $500 just to get your numbers. You do this once a year. Okay, that's real money, no doubt about it. But if you have that data, it changes where you spend the rest of your health allocated funds. So the idea is you can throw a dart and hope you're taking the right stuff, or you could get the data and spend less money on taking the right stuff and probably still spend the same amount of money overall. Here's an example from my own experience. About a year ago, I found out that my RBC magnesium was a little bit low. This means in my red blood cells. Now that's weird, because I've been taking magnesium on a regular basis in the most bioavailable forms, and it's one of my top two most recommended supplements for people, because like everyone's deficient. And I'm like, what the heck is going on with this? So I'm not sure that I know the exact reason why that happened, but I did address it by increasing my magnesium intake and adding more magnesium to a Myers cocktail, intravenous magnesium that bypasses all the absorption systems in the body. So I solved the problem. And of course I did it with a big heavy hammer, because that's kind of the way I like to solve these problems. But knowing that was quite useful. And if you don't get the data, you don't take right action. And when you are using vitamin supplementation, having that ability to say, all right, I did it for a while and then I'm going to test. I did it for a while, I'm going to test. And Wendy, my question for you, I do it for a while. How long's a while before you test? And how long's the next while before you test? Like, what's the testing frequency that's optimal, and then the minimum one that's even useful?
Yes. Well, I have clients do a hair mineral analysis every 3 months because your body chemistry can change rather very quickly. And then you need to change your supplements to continue to correct your body chemistry. But people can wait every 6 months to do it if they're trying to save money or what have you. And some clients I recommend that because they have a pattern in their hair test. I know it's probably not going to change and their supplements therefore won't change. So again, everyone's a little bit different, but you need to continue monitoring your health on a regular basis so you can continue tweaking and biohacking.
So every 3 months, there's some pretty good evidence for that. I tend to favor three times a year because your red blood cells replace themselves about that often. But it's also a question of how much money do you have, to be perfectly honest, right? There are people who do their tests every 2 weeks. They're pretty unusual. I asked Tim Ferriss about this when he was on Bulletproof Radio, and I think it was like every 6 or 8 weeks. It was pretty frequently. In my case, I would like to do it every 6 or 8 weeks, but it's pretty expensive. And contrary to popular belief, I'm not like the multimillionaire since I was 26. People keep forgetting when I say I lost $6 million when I was 28, okay? I've been working my ass off for 20 years here like the rest of us. But it's also a question for me if I live in a small town, I have to like go get a blood draw, and getting a blood draw is inconvenient. And we don't have like Theranos testing where you'll be able to just stick something in your finger. But like I have a nice bruise on my arm right there because I had a needle stuck in my arm the other day from testing. And it's one of those things where, okay, you're not going to do it every 3 months, and hair is easier, but what if you did hair once a year? Is that valuable, or is that still?
I think getting one test to just see where you're at is great. Once a year with a hair test, probably not valuable. But I think people can get one test and kind of see where they're at, and they'll kind of generally know what's going on with their body and what supplements they need to take. But people do need to do retesting fairly frequently if they want to continue balancing their body chemistry and getting the correct supplements that they need. But what's great about hair testing is you can do it anywhere in the world. The sample doesn't deteriorate. It lasts for a couple months so that you can do the testing in the convenience of your own home. It's very easy.
What's the best kind of hair for hair testing?
The best kind of hair? Any kind. It's better if you have hair on your head. I tested Ari Mizell, and he had to shave his chest to get the sample. you can use pubic hair too if you need to, but it's not as reliable. There's a lot more phosphorus in pubic hair, and it's very much more slow growing. Head hair is very biologically active.
So you want fast growing hair, and there's a lot of people who don't have any pubic hair now anyway. So like,
yeah,
I guess. And beards, do those work?
Beards do work. Yeah, they're on your head, so they are biologically active.
So I'm tempted. So hopefully he won't. Okay, my buddy Peter, who works for Bulletproof, he can edit this out if he doesn't like this. So I'm hoping people hear this stuff. But he's grown this like insane beard. Like I think he's competing with Aubrey de Grey pretty soon. And he's like super, super bulletproof, and just did a hair mineral analysis with you. And what did you find in his hair?
Well, I prefaced his talk with telling him how annoying he was, that he had the best hair test that I've ever seen. And it really how hard he works on his health and the fact that he's doing, following all of your advice and taking your supplements. You know, he's been working really hard on his health for about 10 years. He's 29 and he had an amazing hair test. I was really blown away because I hadn't seen one like this before. So I could tell he'd been doing the work.
I have a theory because his beard is growing faster than any human should. I mean, he drinks like the upgraded collagen every day. Like I send it to my employees, like everyone who works for Bulletproof gets like Bulletproof coffee and brain octane and collagen. Like I want them to be healthy and vibrant. So like I give them the stuff, but his beard grows like 3 times faster than it should. So he's like just sprouting. So my theory is that he's dumping all the toxins into his beard so his head hair can be all mellow. So I'm wondering, I'll ask him if he's up for doing a separate beard hair test just to see the difference, because I swear no beard is that possible. I'm having beard envy, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, we should test that theory and do his.
All right, well, ask Peter. Seriously, it would be really an interesting thing to see, like someone who has like beautiful mineral analysis in their hair. Like, what's going on? And I just want to know because it's interesting. Well, maybe it's not if you're listening to this in your car, but I think it's interesting. So we'll talk about it. And Peter, thanks for letting us talk about your hair. Let's see. What about this living to 110 thing? Why did you pick 110?
Well, because live to 120.com was taken primarily.
The world's most honest answer on Bulletproof Radio right there.
But I think most people don't want to live past 110. I know I don't, but some people don't even want to live to 110. But I think that it can be done. You have to, eat the right diet. You have to minimize your exposure to toxins and chemicals as much in your food and your environment as you can. You have to detox your body. So, I teach people on live to 110.com, how to do that, how to live a long, healthy life, disease free. It's sad when I see people, including my father, hit 60 and their health just deteriorates, and they're on 10 different medications and going to doctor test after doctor test after doctor. And it makes me sad to see people living this low quality of life. So I wanted to empower people and let them know how they can heal their health conditions naturally and eat the right diet and, do all the things that make us, healthy and have our brain function properly and give us energy. And so people do have the power to do that. They can take control of their biology and live a healthy life.
Why not 140?
I think because most people, they haven't seen very many people living past 120, so that's why I live to 110.
I don't know. I think you're sort of maybe copping out a little bit there, Wendy. I mean, you talk with some of the guys like Ray Kurzweil, and I think he and I might have a contest to see who takes the most, you know, nutrients every day to optimize our biochemistry. But when you look at his perspective on things, and you look at the medical advances, like I just managed to get in line to be one of the first vanishingly small number of people who get their full human genome sequence, not just the 23andMe, but like everything the same way that Craig Venter has done. And I'm incredibly stoked on that. It's kind of a big investment, but I think the value's there. And I look at what I'm going to learn there, and I look at the technologies coming, and I will be pissed if I only live to 120. Like, seriously, I'm going to be so mad, except I'll be dead, so I probably won't be that mad.
Let's just do coffee enemas, and it might happen.
All right, maybe. It's one of those things where if you have the means, and I don't think everyone is going to have the means, this is probably something that we can do in the West and something that we may be able to do in the East because world economies are shifting and all things like that. But in all societies throughout history, you know, there are some people who are in a position to take advantage of technologies more than others. And one of the reasons that we are doing Bulletproof Radio right today is that when we have new technologies and people become aware of them, it changes the demand for the technologies. And when the demand goes way up high, well, then the supply increases. And when the supply increases, the cost goes way down. And what would have been something that only like Hollywood elite or, you know, world leaders would have suddenly becomes available at your corner 7-Eleven. And by disseminating this knowledge, I think we can make people say, are you kidding? Like, it's not cool that only people who can afford to spend $10,000 get that. We should make this thing available for $100 and we should give it to our kids. And so it's that economic thing that's going to help us live way past 110. So I think it's a good stepping stone, but come on. Like, I want to see Rich like live to 180. Come on, you can do it. All right, I'll get on my little lecture there, but access to these technologies, you're talking $300 for a hair mineral test. There's a lot of families where $300 times, say, the four people in the family, I have two little kids, I'm like, all right, if they're having a behavioral problem or something, would I want to know what's going on in their hair or whether, you know, the water pipes in my aging home are leaching lead from solder that was put in the 60s? All that stuff can actually affect cognitive development. It can affect your kid's IQ. It can affect your own ability to have candida or not have candida. But you're like, damn, that's $1,200 right there. And then I got to go out and buy all these supplements, or I have to, you know, buy the grass-fed meat or stop eating shark because it's full of mercury, or whatever the things you're supposed to do are, it's still too expensive. Like, how long is it going to be before we sort of just, oh, you can do hair mineral analysis because it's so widely done, or some other test like that? Like what's your futurist hat for this?
Well, I do give discounts to families if they need it. And, you know, children usually don't have to take very many supplements. They usually have to take, you know, three supplements to get better. Like, for instance, my daughter was diagnosed with autism when she was 3 years old. And I put her on the program, and she detoxed tons of aluminum. I mean, just tons of it on every single hair test. And she only had to do that for about a year, and she's very much normal now. She's just a little bit behind, you know, other kids her same age, but she's doesn't have an autism diagnosis anymore from doing
well,
this.
Congratulations on doing that. And you're not alone there. There are people who actually do reverse. They cure their kids' autism. I even have a relative, I guess she would be a cousin or a second cousin, who's the same thing, you know, on the spectrum of parents, really, really poured an amazing amount of love, and honestly, it was an amazing amount of money. Like, one of them quit working to take care of their daughter. But you know what happened? She's fine. Like, she's a great kid. Like the autism stuff is gone. And to know that you can do that is both amazing and wonderful. It's also kind of annoying, because if you think about how many of those successes, like the ones you've had and the ones that other people have had, compared to the number of kids who don't even get an opportunity to do that, it seems like there's such a wide gap.
Yeah. You know, and it's definitely the sooner you get a diagnosis, the sooner you can start making headway with improving the diagnosis. But, you know, most kids with autism have a zinc deficiency. They typically have aluminum toxicity as well. It's found in most vaccines. And they also typically have gut dysbiosis. So, you know, attack with probiotics, definitely giving zinc, a number of other things. You know, kids can turn around. They really can. But the longer you wait to seek treatment, the worse the prognosis.
That is definitely my experience in talking with autistic parents. I actually gave a talk at the Autism One conference this year because the whole idea of using Bulletproof and all these other techniques, the things that you do at Live to 110, in order to reduce the toxic burden on the body. Okay, you reduce the body burden and the body can heal. And whether those toxins are causing autism or enabling it, or whether they're a cofactor, sorry, they matter. And they matter even if you don't have autism. If you just want to like make the world's best decisions all day, every day, and have a ton of energy and kick ass all day, toxins matter. And if you want to not be in the hospital like completely like twitching, toxins matter. So it they still matter, right?
Exactly.
Well, Wendy, what other things would Bulletproof listeners really appreciate knowing about?
Well, actually, when at your conference, the Bulletproof Biohackers Conference, I spoke about infrared saunas. I love infrared saunas because I think if you do any one thing for your health, you need to get into an infrared sauna. There are so countless benefits, so many benefits, including killing candida, it kills yeast, fungus, parasites, molds. It can kill cancer cells. Dr. William Pollack said that we have 100 million cancer cells in our body at any one time. And if you don't have a strong immune system to kill them off, an infrared sauna can aid in killing them off and killing tumors before they have a chance to grow. And it does so many things. That I can't even begin to express it. But you also, sweat out hundreds of chemicals and toxins, phthalates, and additionally dozens of heavy metals. Radiation, it kills cells that have been radiated. There's just so many benefits that people really need to get one in their home, I think.
So I got my first infrared sauna back around 97, 98. And I used it when I was getting rid of mercury the first time, and then it got a little bit wet, and actually toxic mold grew in my infrared sauna, which is just like bad news. So I tossed that thing, but in the new biohacking facility, and I'm going to give listeners and viewers on YouTube or the iTunes video of Bulletproof Radio like a walkthrough of the biohacking facility. If you've been hearing construction sounds in the background today, that's like them putting in the paths. It's nearly done, and I have this sweet new infrared sauna, and I'm going to tell you guys all about it because I do believe that this is something that, you want access to one, and they're remarkably affordable now, and they still don't look amazing in your living room, but if you can find space for one, they will change the way you perform. So you're going to get a little bit more of a download on that in another episode of Bulletproof Radio. Wendy, we've got enough time for our final question, which is what I ask on every podcast. And that is, what are your top three recommendations for people who want to perform better at whatever it is they do? So I don't mean like running. I mean, like, if you want to kick ass at being a parent, what should you do? Want to kick ass at insert anything, what should you do?
I think if you want to alleviate brain fog, which a lot of people are suffering from. Definitely, like I said, you want to get in an infrared sauna. You've got to get rid of mercury and aluminum and copper that have affinity for brain cells. You have to get those.
Sauna?
Yeah, infrared
and metals,
sauna.
Okay.
And also, you want to take magnesium. Magnesium is needed for over 3,700 processes in the body and counting. That's one of the first things to go when we're stressed out. And you need that mineral desperately. Of course, I think people should take a whole range of minerals because I think that's the number one thing missing in people's supplement protocols. People are taking minerals, but not the right kinds and not enough of certain minerals. And I also think people need to sleep. People, I think, have very poor sleep hygiene. I love that you use the orange nerd goggles to reduce, the influx of blue light that suppresses melatonin production. And people need to have better sleep hygiene. Get the EMFs away from their bed. They need to do everything they can to get the best night's sleep. I've been taking your GABA wave.
Does it work?
Changed my sleeping. An absolute
boom. I love hearing that. Thank you.
Amazing. I'm recommending it to all my clients because I was really blown away. I definitely had some sort of GABA deficiency, which many of us do. A lot of people, if they have copper toxicity, for instance, they'll have too much norepinephrine and other stimulating neurotransmitters, and people need the breaks, which is GABA. If people try to go to sleep at night and their mind is racing, or typically like mine is, they need to have some breaks, which is GABA. And I think a lot of people are deficient in that today. So for me, when I was having trouble sleeping, it just took that all away. It just completely changed my sleeping habits. So anyone I think that is having trouble sleeping, I think GABA wave is the way to go.
Wow, that's a huge endorsement. Thank you. And we didn't plan that ahead of time.
No, we didn't.
I would caution people the first time you try a GABA wave, like follow the instructions carefully. It's strong. It's not like taking normal GABA. You really can feel it. So just, you know, make sure that first day that you have, that you're ready for a ton of brain activity, like you can really be focused, but you might really want to sleep that night.
Yeah. I did a half an ampoule.
Yeah, it's a good way to start.
I'll start with the small first. But you need to take phenylated GABA. If you do take GABA, it needs to be phenylated. It's more effective.
And the other thing is, how do you like the flavor?
I do like it. I mean,
no, you're the only person on earth. Most people like grimace and cry when they have GABA wave, but that's kind of by design.
It smells really good. Like the package, it smells really, really nice. And I was really looking forward to the flavor, but yeah, it is a little tart.
So I'm working on a new flavor that people will like better, but the people who, for whom it works, they love it and it doesn't matter how it tastes. So that's awesome. Well, thank you.
I choke it down.
Awesome. Will you give me your URL and where people can get a hold of you so that they can find your work?
Yes. Well, you can find me on livetoto110.com. That's where I have my weekly blog and Live to 110 podcast. I've got lots of recipes, etc. You can find my Mineral Power program at mineralpower.com. And I also have an upcoming online health program called bodybiorehab.com. That's going to have all kinds of information about health, just the basics of health, stress, sleep, diet, exercise, and detoxification. Just a basic program to help people, you know, reverse disease and increase their energy and get their mojo back, basically.
Yeah, mojo deficiency is a serious cause of aging.
Yes, it's an epidemic.
Awesome. Wendy Myers, thank you for being on Bulletproof Radio today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please do me a favor. There's something you could do that would really change the needle for me, just move the needle, and that's buy a copy of the Bulletproof Diet book. And if you already have a copy, this is a serious request, buy another one. I'm really working to show my publisher that the audience of Bulletproof Radio is loyal and to do another book that goes even deeper into things you can do to upgrade yourself. And what's going to help the most on making that happen quickly is moving a few more copies of the Bulletproof Diet book. So buy one for a friend, buy one for that fat coworker who's angry all the time, because you can seriously win just by getting the people around you to pay attention. And if they all want Bulletproof coffee, then you go up and be like, let's get that stuff out of the coffee bar. Let's put the good stuff in. So I'll help you out there too. But anyway, please consider buying another copy of the Bulletproof Diet book. And I'd be so grateful. Just go online, just click buy. And then seriously, I'll write another book for you and it's going to rock. Thanks again, Wendy.
Thank you so much.
The Human Upgrade, formerly Bulletproof Radio, was created and is hosted by Dave Asprey. The information contained in this podcast is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended for the purposes of diagnosing, treating, curing, or preventing any disease. Before using any products referenced on the podcast, consult with your healthcare provider, carefully read all labels, and heed all directions and cautions that accompany the products. Information found or received through the podcast should not be used in place of a consultation or advice from a healthcare provider. If you suspect you have a medical problem or should you have any healthcare questions, please promptly call or see your healthcare provider. This podcast, including Dave Asprey and the producers, disclaim responsibility for any possible adverse effects from the use of information contained herein. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. This podcast may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products or services. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to herein. This podcast is owned by Bulletproof Media.